So our scripture reading this morning is from the Psalms, Psalm number 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations, so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they flee. At the sound of your thunder they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the cattle to grow. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle, and plants for people to use, and bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests, the stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats, the rocks are a refuge for the conies. You have made the moon to mark the seasons, the sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. People go out to their work and to their labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder if any of you have ever heard of the term Rogation Sunday. I bet you Dean has. I hadn't. And so when I came across reference to this tradition this week, I learned something new. I like to do a little research. Rogation Sunday is one day each year when the church has traditionally offered prayer for God's blessings on the fruits of the earth and the labors of those who produce our food. The word rogation is from the Latin word rogare, which means to ask. Historically, on Rogation Sunday, communities would ask for God's blessing on the crops for a bountiful harvest. Now, not many of us today directly derive our livelihood from the production of food, but it is still good for us to be reminded of our dependence on those who do. Otherwise, how would we have the food we need to survive? And to be reminded of where our food comes from and our responsibility for our environment. Purgation Sunday falls usually on the week of the sixth week of Easter, which is where we are now, a time in our Earth's natural yearly cycle when we are starting to prepare and plant crops, and we see new birth and growth in the world around us. The first Rogation procession was made 1,500 years ago, and the litanies and antiphons sung and recited were meant to avert God's anger from his people and to call down God's blessings on the fruits of the fields. The priest and parish members would process through the parish, making their way over fields, meadows, and plowed lands throughout the entire parish. In seaside parishes, the processions included prayers for the harvest of the sea, and the parish members would make their way along the sands or cliffs of the parish. The congregation would process, and they would bless every tree, every stone, while chanting a litany of mercy or a litany of the saints. I don't think we will process through all of Okotoks today, but I thought it was a very interesting tradition to hear about. This tradition began in the 5th century AD by Mamertus, Bishop of Vienne in France. Bishop Mamertus's episcopacy was marked by the near continuous threat of disaster, including a fire that destroyed the king's palace, pestilence that killed their cattle, earthquakes, invasion of Goths, and terrorizing attacks on the populace by packs of hungry wolves. Mamertus was not a very popular bishop at this time. In response, though, Mamertus led his flock in 3 days of prayer and procession, leading up to the Feast of the Ascension, saying, "We will pray to God that he will turn away the plagues from us and preserve us from all ill, from hail and drought, fire and pestilence, and from the fury of our enemies, to give us favorable seasons, that our land may be fertile, good weather and good health, and that we may have peace and tranquility and obtain pardon for our sins." Amazingly, after Mamertus did this, the disaster stopped. And so other bishops in the neighboring regions then also adopted the same practice. In AD 511, the practice of 3 days of prayer was made mandatory in France by the Fifth Council of Orleans. And in the 9th century, Pope Leo III extended the practice to the entire church. The practice then evolved in many different parishes, to which the congregation would beat the bounds of the parish, which meant processing the perimeter of the whole parish, marking and establishing the boundaries of the village. Children would carry green boughs in the procession, the streets were hung with green branches, and girls would decorate themselves with flower garlands while men carried banners and a cross. The members of the village and parish would also take this time to check in with their neighbors, re-establishing connections and renewing relationships for the new season ahead. Nowadays, this tradition is carried out in very few parishes in the Christian church, but it is still the time of year that calls us to reflect on the season ahead and how vulnerable we are all to the whims of wind, water, soil, and sun, and to remind us of our symbiotic connection to nature and to the earth that sustains us. This Sunday, then, calls the church to celebrate the rural heritage of Christian churches in many parts of Canada, to affirm worldwide the people and communities who work with and on the land by raising food and fiber, and to recognize the ongoing crisis occurring in the rural areas of the nation of the world, in the world today, and to celebrate and show concern for God's created order. This season of creation calls us to reflect again upon how we are called to be stewards of this magnificent creation that God has entrusted us with. The land, water, sky, and all the creatures that dwell upon it do not belong to any of us. We may claim temporary ownership of these things, but they are not really ours. These gifts are truly gifts, given freely by God in trust to be our responsibility and our concern. Do we really take care of these things as well as we could? Do we really show the love and awe and wonder for God's creation that has inspired in generations of us from from the beginning of time. Let's look back to our reading today from Psalm 104 for inspiration and for grounding. The psalmist in this ode to God sings of how God creates and animates everything around us. You shall set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing amongst the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and the plants for people to use, to bring forth from the earth. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. This psalm is truly a psalm of celebration, wonder, and awe for the goodness that God has sown throughout creation. To most of us, when we take a step back and look at what we know about the process of the magical growing of plants and crops, it really is mind-boggling. It really is a miracle. From tiny seeds, a bit of water, some sun, warmth, and soil, comes a beautiful life-giving plant. Or from microscopic seeds and egg come a new creature. How incredible is that? Whether you believe in science, God, or some of both, wow. In a passage from Exodus 33, Moses pleads with God, God, show me your glory, or show me your beauty, your goodness, your truth. Show me your ways, show me your face. And God responds, yes, I will make all of my goodness pass before you, but you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. But God passes before Moses, veiled. And afterwards, I wonder if Moses was able to recognize the glory and the beauty and the truth of God by recognizing that God was all around him, reflected in the goodness and truth of creation and the creation of God in the natural world. Was Moses able to see and recognize God's glory? What are the moments of startling glory that you have experienced around you? For me, in the springtime, it's the sight and sound of Canada geese flying overhead. Or the wondrous shock of seeing a batch of greens shoot up in my garden in summer after a rain, followed by a few days of a heat wave. Or when a tiny ladybug lands on my skin and trundles along the landscape of my arm. Or seeing the unbridled expressions of joy on my dog's faces when they run fast and free in the field. These, to me, are moments of and with God. These, to me, are little miracles. I wonder if Jesus, too, also recognized these moments and reveled in them. We know from the gospel that Jesus often went out into the wilderness to pray and fast and reflect. When we read about and think about the Jesus we know through Scripture, we hear about a man who encountered and treated each and every being he met with love, compassion, and care. Jesus looked at the world through God's eyes. He seemed to recognize the beauty in the mustard seed, the birds of the air, in the leper, and in the whole of his Father's sacred creation. Can we take a few moments today, this week, to stop and reflect on the pure wonder of this natural world around us and to give thanks for all that we have been provided for our survival, joy, and well-being from creation? What is our role and our responsibility to be stewards of this creation? How do we demonstrate and practice ways to honor the glory, the wonder, the sacredness of the amazing natural world around us and all of its beings? The glory of God all around us is made to be recognized and celebrated. I want to finish today by sharing a poem with you by William Carlos Williams. He lived from 1883 to 1963. And this poem is called Rotation. Oh, let the seeds be planted, and the worry and unrest be invited. Let that which is to come of the weather and our own weakness be accepted. Let work mate with fertility, the man and the soil join to produce a world of blade and blossom. We believe in the wonder of continuous revival, the ritual of the farm. This is our world, and this is our message to the world and to each other. Let the seed be planted, the man and the soil be plowed equally by the joy in the planting. Let the grasses that bear the seed, oat, rye, and corn, and other yield, speak their message of revival and thrive by our labor, 'tis Maytime. Who shall reap the harvest? To whom shall the praise be given? No man, but all men together in love and devotion. There is no other harvest and no other praise. Oh, let the seeds be planted, and the rain and the sun and the moon add their wonder.